Okay, so we had some technical problems. We're going to try again, and obviously we'll have to review and look going forward. So this is my message from the start. If you've seen part of this, then feel free to move it on a little bit. But this morning, I'm talking about living in the Spirit. So I Googled living in blank because I'm about to talk to you this morning about the importance and the incredible life-changing impact of living in the Spirit. I was curious to find out what the alternatives to living in could look like. You can see them on the screen now. Many of them are, of course, living in certain places. Most of the popular searches include living in America, living in Spain, living in New Zealand, living in London. Also, living in the past, which is generally not a good thing. And a song from 1987 called Living in a Box, which went, living in a box, living, I'm living in a cardboard box. I'm old enough to remember that. You may or may not be, and it may not have even hit you on the radar. But although there are some great places where you could be living in, I suggest that we don't live in the past or live in a metaphorical cardboard box. But this morning, I want to encourage you to go deeper in living in the Spirit. If you've been following us the last two Sundays, then I get to pick up on two great talks by my good friends, Dave and Bob, on the screen now. And as a church community, we believe that God still speaks to us today, and that for 2020, he wants us to go deeper and reach wider. And going deeper involves a number of things, but I believe passionately, so passionately, that God wants you and wants me to go deeper in living in the Spirit. If you're brand new to the Christian faith or even still exploring what you think, I hope as I talk this morning that you catch a glimpse of the wonderful potential and life-changing difference living in the Spirit could make for you. But if you say, I've been a Christian for a short while or a long while, then I believe this message for you today is at the heart of it is that God is saying it's time to go deeper living in the Spirit. If this is your first week with us, I really recommend that you go and listen to the last 2 weeks because they worked and they are online and available now. But if you missed the other week, here's my recap because you really need to understand a couple of things before we can talk about what I want to speak today. And the first is this, the Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. It's such an important point of our Christian understanding. The Trinity is one God, but three distinct parts. God the Father, God the Son, that's Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Not three gods, one God, but with three different elements, operating together, complementing one another, and all equally important. All three persons of the Trinity are interwoven and appear throughout the story of the whole story of the Bible, including the Holy Spirit. It's a huge topic for another day, but we see that in the first part of the Bible, in the Old Testament, basically before Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes upon people for a specific purpose. And Dave explained it to us really well 2 weeks ago. See some of the Bible heroes, David, the shepherd boy, who turns into David, the king, Samson, Joshua, Joseph, all people who the Holy Spirit comes upon them, giving them supernatural skills or strength or both to fulfill God's purpose. I love what the prophet Isaiah said when he referred to the Holy Spirit. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed, or you could say appointed me, to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. This Holy Spirit comes upon him to do what? To bring good news, to comfort and to proclaim. That was the Old Testament. But then after Jesus has ascended to heaven to return to the Father, he explained that there would be a shift, which turned out to be a game changer. We've talked about this the last few weeks, in fact, the last few months. The book of Acts tells us that the Spirit was poured out on all people. This analogy of water, not droplets, but large volume, and not a dainty, you know, not a little bit of water here, sprinkling there, but it's poured out. The emphasis is huge quantities of water. Think buckets and think bigger. This was brand new and it was different and it was wonderful. The person of the Holy Spirit now available to everybody, everywhere, anytime. And this moment kickstarts a movement. Bob talked about it last week in Acts chapter 8 and 9. Again, go ahead and listen. This guy Philip is directed by the Holy Spirit to a meeting he wasn't expecting. He receives some very specific instructions. Go over and walk along beside the carriage, says the Holy Spirit. Then there's an amazing conversation where Philip meets an Ethiopian official. He explains what happened in the Bible. He explains the good news of Jesus. And then before we know it, Philip, this guy sees some water and he says to Philip, hey, that's water. Why can't I be baptized? Philip says, okay. He baptizes him. And then we read this. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit snatched Philip away. Well, don't tell me the Bible's boring. The Spirit snatched Philip away. Sounds a bit like a Doctor Who moment, doesn't it? Or a Doctor Strange moment for Marvel fans, or a Dr. Spock beam me up moment. But of course, this isn't fictional, this is real. And as Bob explained last week, this story gives us some indication of what living in the Spirit looks like. The Holy Spirit's involved in leading, guiding, speaking, revealing, and then exceptionally and quite unusually, I think, transporting Philip from one place to another. And if we add those things there in that story to a broader list, including some of the things Dave talked about 2 weeks ago, just look at this list for a moment. The Holy Spirit, what does he do? He teaches, he testifies, he guides, he speaks, he transforms, he comforts, he convicts or corrects, he convinces, he gives, he reveals, he empowers, he transports in Philip's case. And finally, on this short list of many of a much bigger list, he helps. And there's plenty more too. But I'm hoping that today, as we talk about this topic, that you look at that list and you say, actually, living in the Spirit, why wouldn't I want to live in the Spirit when this is available? Anyone need comfort? Me too. Anyone have all the answers or need some teaching? Well, me too. Anyone need any help? Me too. All the time. So the question, what do we have to do to live in the Spirit, is what we want to think about for a few moments this morning. And I'm going to talk about three things: flow, fruit, and gifts. We talked about the Trinity being one God but three parts. We also recognize that we as human beings are made up of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. The body is the obvious part, it's the physical element of who we are. The soul, the inner parts of who we are, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And the third part, maybe less obvious, maybe we're less aware of, is our spirit. Now, God created all three parts. He knitted us together. We're complex, the Bible tells us. So it's not that one part is more or less important, but our spirit is the part of us that essentially comes alive when we accept God's free gift of salvation, which comes to us because of Jesus. When we choose to be part of God's family and walk towards God rather than away from him. And it's this choice which triggers everything else. And yet, if you understand this, actually, it's not our choice that is the start of this process, because it's the Holy Spirit who reveals to us who Jesus is and why we need to respond. He reveals to us the things that are wrong in our lives. He convicts us. We understand that we're in a mess and we need help and we need support and we need a life transformation. So it starts with him. And if you're new to Christianity, maybe you're on Alpha, maybe you've just joined us from Heaven Sent, I encourage you to pray this prayer today. Holy Spirit, please reveal to me who Jesus is and what I need to do. So that's the start point. John Ortberg, a Christian writer, puts it like this. He says, God's plan is not just for us to be saved by grace, it is for us to live by grace. God's plan is for my daily life to be given, guided, guarded, and energized by the grace of God. To live in grace is to flow in the Spirit. I love that, this idea of flow. So where does flow come from? Well, Jesus tells us, read this in John chapter 7. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Rivers of living water will flow from within them. So, Here's the flow. And I really want us to understand this. Notice the source within them. The ultimate source is Jesus himself, connected by the Holy Spirit. But once that connection is made, the source is within us. And this within is the very deepest part of who we are. John Ortberg explains it's the place where we get, you and I get anxious or afraid. It's where we feel hollow. It's where we feel empty or disappointed. The Greek word koilia is actually speaking, it's a medical or a scientific term. It's connected to colitis, when rivers of stress run in our gut, run in our insides. And you could say it's where our body and our soul, our emotions meet. You know what it's like. You know what I'm talking about. There is a physical manifestation when there are emotions or deep things within us which are troubling us. Scientists say that we have a brain in our gut. It's our digestive system that produces feelings of either well-being or threat, deeper than we could put into words. And Jesus is literally talking about this place. He says, this is where the living water will flow from. It's at that deepest part of who we are. And this life, this deepness, is not something that we produce. It exists independently of us. It is the Spirit of God. But once we're connected, he will flow from us. And I think this phrase, this terminology of flowing in the Spirit is so helpful. We connect to God and allow the Holy Spirit to flow from the very deepest parts of who we are. What's flow all about? Well, flow is about movement. It's about progress. It's about going somewhere. It's about fluidity. Rivers might meander, but they're always going somewhere. And this picture of life, rivers are mentioned all through the Bible. Where a river flows, there is life. One of our key Bible passages for this year is from the book in the Old Testament, a book of Ezekiel, a prophet. And he gives this picture of a vast flowing river. He says this is his picture, this image that he describes. Life will flourish wherever the water flows. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall. There will always be fruit on their branches. There'll be a new crop every month, for they're watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing. So life will flourish in this image wherever the water flows. And what does life look like? Well, trees with leaves that don't go brown, that'll always be fruitful. Talk to a keen gardener and they'll tell you that this is not the way it works. In fact, you don't even need to be a keen gardener, but fruit has seasons. This picture, therefore, is exceptional because we are saying that this fruit comes throughout all seasons. We're in a season, aren't we, right now? Season of lockdown, a season of restriction. But I believe that this is a word for some people today. That even in lockdown, even in this season, the Holy Spirit is growing much fruit in you. So, what does this fruit look like? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us, he gives us the answer. Galatians 5 says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And notice, it's the Holy Spirit who produces it. Our role is to stay connected to the source so that the Holy Spirit will flow in us and the consequences, some incredible fruit. You want to be more joyful? Stay connected and allow the Holy Spirit to flow. Want more peace? Stay connected and allow the Holy Spirit to flow. Anyone need a fresh wave of kindness or patience or goodness? Well, stay or get connected and allow the Holy Spirit to flow. It's not that he takes over, we still have a choice, but if we're connected to the source, we're wanting to choose kindness, we're wanting to choose love, we're wanting to choose faithfulness, then this will happen as we connect to the source and allow the Spirit to flow through us and produce these incredible fruit. Can we choose to disconnect? Of course. Can we choose not to allow the Holy Spirit to help us, to lead us and transform us? Of course we can. There is still a choice that we make and we have to partner with and align with the Holy Spirit to flow in our lives. So, flowing in the Spirit has incredible benefits for us, but notice the Spirit never just flows to us. He always flows to us so that he can flow through us so that others might flourish as well. So, get in the flow, stay in the flow, see the fruit, and finally, receive and use the gifts. I said before, that one of the things the Holy Spirit does is he is a great giver. So what gifts are on offer? Well, let's turn to the gift catalogue, which is otherwise known as 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there is a specific context to this letter that Paul is writing, and he's explaining and he's helping the church in Corinth to understand. But for us, there are things that we can learn very quickly this morning. Let me just read some of these words to you. They'll come up on the screen. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshipping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking of the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. That just doesn't happen. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is involved, as I said earlier. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. That's the purpose. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the gift to transform, to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another, deep breath, is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It's the one Spirit, it's the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Okay, there's a lot of words there, but simply understand this. There's one Holy Spirit, he gives the gifts, but you and me are enabled to do things that we could only do with the supernatural spiritual help of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of wisdom, or of supernatural knowledge that we would not know if the Holy Spirit hadn't given us this gift. Gifts of healing, miracles, speaking in unknown languages or in heavenly language. The ability to speak God's words and to speak them to individuals or groups. And you might say, well, how do I know that I've got this gift? How do I know? Well, first of all, when we ask, God so often gives. Of course, we have to ask and we have to be open. And we have to say that to the Holy Spirit. Many of the gifts start as either an idea or a feeling in our own spirit. Sometimes I describe it as a nudge, the Holy Spirit nudging us towards something. And will using the gifts of the Spirit require some learning? Absolutely. Ask, experiment, try, seek, and get some feedback from people. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to take more of a lead in our daily lives. I believe he wants to drop Holy Spirit light bulb moments where things didn't make sense, where suddenly things do make sense. I've got so many personal examples. Not enough time to share them this morning, but just let me just mention one. Last week, Claire was in a mentoring session somewhere else in the house. I was downstairs working. And then for a short while after that, we went for a walk. And I said to her, how did your mentoring session go? And she said, good. And I said, I guess you were talking about, and I mentioned one word. And she said, hang on, what did you say? And she said, how did you know that? And she said, could you hear? And I said, no, I couldn't hear. But I just had a sense that as I was praying for the same person, that we both came up with exactly the same thing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was leading us and guiding us. And our Touch in Heaven meeting the other week, I felt that the Holy Spirit wanted to use someone else to speak to all of us. But logistically, it was too late. There wasn't time. We hadn't got time to set it all up. Zoe sends me a message on my phone and says, I believe that God might want to say this tonight at Touch in Heaven. I sent her a message back saying, yes, please. She recorded a video and we used it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was aligning us, was speaking to us, was communicating with us and to us. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to bring people to your mind that he wants you to pray for. Even this morning, as I was praying, I went for a walk in the park and there was some signs up. There is an adventure trail that someone has prepared. It looks fantastic, actually, with colours and like an adventure trail. And I felt that the Holy Spirit was saying to me, Matt, it's time for you to go on an adventure again. And how great that the girls used in our online service the song, The Big Adventure. God is speaking to us. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us today. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to get involved in the decisions of our lives. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. I believe it's like a sat nav. The Holy Spirit wants to give us direction on where we should go, what we should say, and what we should do. I hope this makes some kind of sense to you, that this is what I believe God is saying today. And we'll pray just as we finish in a moment, but very quickly, two quick, important health checks. You might be thinking, Matt, I thought God speaks to us through the Bible. Are you saying that the Holy Spirit is an alternative? I'm confused. Well, no. If we know the Bible, the Holy Spirit will often remind us or take us to the relevant parts for us to read. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the Bible. So it's a health check for us to check that we are on track. If what you think the Holy Spirit is saying contradicts the Bible, then it won't be the Holy Spirit. So it's a helpful check for us to know. The second is, for key decisions, it's important to have other people around us. And if you think the Holy Spirit is saying something, check with someone else. Find someone that you believe is a mature Christian, someone who can help you, maybe your life group leader, maybe other people who are connected across church. It's not a secret, if Claire and I have big life decisions to make, we pray, we sense what the Holy Spirit is saying, but we ask other people that we trust what they think too. There's a lovely phrase in Acts 15 where the apostles are making decisions and they say it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us. I love that sense. That's how we can make decisions. Our society says asking for help or advice is a sign of weakness. I say not asking for wise counsel is more a sign of craziness, never mind weakness. The second health check is this. This talk of taking spiritual advice and guidance, does it sound a bit like tarot cards or fortune telling? Is that what we're saying, Matt? Are these the same things? It's a good question. Sometimes hearing the Holy Spirit does sound a bit like some of these things that we find in our society, tarot cards, fortune tellers, and astrology, reading the signs. The answer is no, these are very different. And the thing that's different is ultimately the source. The Holy Spirit gives gifts and gives guidance. The source of these is not the Holy Spirit. It's other spirits which are unhelpful and unhealthy. Think of some of those things. If ever you've been involved in them, they always don't bring good, healthy fruit. They bring fear and worry and anxiety and basically badness. And we haven't got time to, I can't go into all of that this morning, but come on our Freedom in Christ course and learn some more about that. But there are two important health checks that I wanted to mention. So as we finish this morning, Galatians 5 says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And my prayer is today that you will get in the flow, you'll be aware of the fruit, and you will receive and put into operation the gifts of the Spirit. What's the question for today? Well, what is the Holy Spirit wanting to give you today? What do I need to do? Second question, what do I need to do to go deeper in the Spirit? And hopefully, as you've listened, we've answered some of those questions. I'd love to pray for you and for me right now. Let's pray, shall we? Holy Spirit, would you reveal to me who Jesus is and help me to understand and experience him today? Holy Spirit, teach me how to align myself to your priorities. Flow in me to the deepest parts of who I am and flow through me to others. Please give me today the gift or gifts you want me to have for my benefit, but also the benefit of others. Speak to me and speak through me. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to live in the Spirit. I want to flow in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me go deeper today. Amen.